Hey everyone, I'm Hurricane Hal, host of the GeoTrek podcast. Welcome to episode 108, where we cover the impacts of extreme weather on the transportation and logistics industry. Welcome back to another episode of the GeoTrek podcast. If you haven't already, make sure you're subscribed to our official YouTube channel. Give this video a thumbs up and hit that bell icon so you don't miss any future episodes. Your support of the YouTube channel helps GeoTrek expand its reach to ensure many more episodes of the GeoTrek podcast in the future. We have a special guest for episode number 108 of the GeoTrek podcast. Gary Faldin is Senior Director of Industry Solutions at Platform Science. Gary brings extensive experience from years of work in the transportation and logistics industry, and is going to help us unpack questions we have about how extreme weather impacts global shipping. Gary, thank you so much for taking time to come on the GeoTrek podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Gary, this is really an interesting conversation because global transportation and shipping is so impactful. It's such an important part of the economy. Could you walk us through really how you got involved in this sector? Talk about your journey into transportation and logistics. And what's your favorite thing about working in that sector?
I'd say I started in transportation when I was 17 years old. I was in high school, senior year. And I started out with UPS. And I started unloading trailers, which, you know, a lot of people have done at UPS. Started unloading trailers, and then I got enrolled in college, and I actually worked at UPS all throughout college. And then once I graduated, I had the opportunity to get into management there, and then became full-time. But, you know, I had numerous careers at UPS. I was there for a total of 25 years. I relocated six times with them around the country. Started off, as I said, as an unloader. Then I drove for a little bit. I trained drivers, both package car drivers and tractor trailer drivers. Then ran different divisions of UPS. I had package, you know, hub divisions, feeder divisions, which was tractor trailer. And, you know, and all of those are greatly impacted by weather. And then after that, so then I ended up moving back up to Minnesota. And I got on with Transport America and then with Dart Transit, where I was vice president of safety for 12 years before coming to Trimble. And I've been at Trimble now about three and a half years.
Yeah, Gary, that's a lot of extensive experience over decades. And I'd imagine, you know, it sounds like you were involved in all these different sectors of it. And then I'd imagine through that time, the technology innovations and things like that had to completely rework the industry, right?
Oh my gosh. I think back of when we started. I think back to UPS. Yeah, you just unloaded trailers and, you know, the drivers, there was no automation to it. You know, there's a lot more automation now with it, with dense codes and automated sorting of packages. You look at the drivers, you know, when I drove there and would deliver packages, you were writing everything down with a pen. Every single package you delivered, you wrote down that number on it. And imagine doing that when it's like 20 below outside and trying to get that pen to work. You know, that was harder than heck. And, you know, you had to make a duplicate copy. You had the carbon paper in there and you'd flip the sheet. I mean, it was crazy. And then, you know, you look to the point now with UPS, how much automation there is there. And really in all of trucking, you know, where they have dyads, they scan the packages, they know every package that's on every package car, they know where it's going. The technology has changed. You've got, and then just a hard part was, is just finding where you're going. I mean, I remember being up in northern Minnesota delivering and you didn't even, you had fire numbers. There was a Rolodex of cards you'd look through and they'd say, yeah, for this address or this name. And it would be, you know, at the red barn, turn left, go till you see.
Oh, yeah. it was always looking for landmarks or stopping at a gas station or does someone know where? Yeah. I mean, this is before really the smart maps, right?
Exactly. So, yeah, the technology is just, it's crazy how it's come along. And then when you look in over the road trucking with ELDs, with navigation that's on the truck, and then just the technology that's on the trucks, period. The safety technology that's out there. You know, you've got collision mitigation, you've got lane keep, you've got the video cameras that are out there. It's just come a long way.
Sure. No, it's tremendous how the innovation has changed everything, but obviously shipping, transportation, logistics, all of that. Gary, you mentioned Minnesota minus 20. I know you've lived a lot of different places, but you spent quite a bit of time in Minnesota. And that brings us to this question. I mean, with trucking covering like the whole continent and really the whole world, obviously truckers are going to encounter extreme weather. What are the best practices for shipping and logistics and transportation to deal with extreme weather?
Yeah. And I tell you, and I've been in, I grew up in Minnesota. And then when I moved, when I was with UPS and then we came back up here again. So I've been here my whole life. I enjoy winter. I do a lot of winter activities. But, as far as the transportation industry and, how to deal with the weather and do it safely, that's the key is how do you be safe in the winter? And, how I've always looked at it, you have to have a good foundation. And really, it starts off with the company culture. You have to have a good company culture, good core values. How are they projected throughout the company? And it's not just the safety department. It's the whole company has to buy into it. And there's got to be a culture of, where you have. And here's a good definition of culture. Right? You hear a lot. Everybody talks about culture in a company. Well, I talk about safety culture in a company and how do you describe what that is? And really it's shared values, shared beliefs, and accepted patterns of behavior in regards to safety. Just think about that. That really encompasses a culture. If you have in regards to safety, the shared values, shared belief, and accepted patterns of behavior, that encompasses it. So now you've got your foundation. And there's a lot of tactical steps that need to be done to be safe in the winter. And there is a lot. It's a company-wide approach. You've got maintenance, you've got operations, you've got safety, you've got customer service. You even have sales that is involved in keeping drivers safe. And, you look at it again. You look at it by department. You've got maintenance. They got to make sure, how are the tires? How are the batteries in the trucks? I remember, in over-the-road trucking, being in Minnesota, the first cold snaps, you really find out how good your maintenance is. Because all of a sudden it goes to 20 below and these trucks are all over the place and they're not starting. And it's good maintenance and then it's good communication to the drivers and how to make sure those trucks are going to start in bad weather. And you plug them in and all that, all the stuff, turning the power off on the truck so there's no draining of power when they're sitting for a period of time. So there's a lot of training from maintenance that has to take into effect. Tire chains. Think about that. What's the company policy on tire chains? Companies I've been at, we always, you have to have chains when you go out west. There's chain laws that are out there. But we'd always tell drivers, okay, we got chains on the trucks. So we don't want you to use them. Unless it's emergency. If you go to an area where it says chains are required, we want you to get off the road. It's too bad. Bunk heaters. How do you use there's a lot of different heaters that are in the trucks to keep drivers warm. They're living in that truck. Mm-hmm. How do you use those properly to keep warm? Then think another thing with maintenance. How do you deal with the snow on the trailers? There's a lot of, problems that can happen when a truck goes down the road and there's ice and snow on that trailer and it goes flying into somebody else. Tolls and stocks. I mean, they're dealing with those. And then you think about, you go to operations then. What are the impacts of weather on operations? You look at planning. You got all these loads you got to get, pick up and deliver. You got to be able to plan properly. You've got to have good communication with customers. Because one thing customers don't like is not to be kept updated when loads are going to be late.
Gary, what you're talking about here is really company-wide culture. And then what I hear is you're talking like literally every department is involved with this. So like, do you have the same principles? And I hear you talking a lot about winter weather, about cold weather on the vehicles, about operating in snow and ice. Is this year in, year out? Do you generally have the same policies, procedures, values with that? Or do these things shift over time?
Well, there's going to be different emphasis when you get to winter. You have your, how to avoid and the proper techniques to drive safely. Okay, you've got all those. And those are year-round safety tips, how to drive safely. That's going on. Sending out communication, training to drivers continually. come to winter, when it gets to winter, you know, what I've done and what a lot of carriers do, now you still have all your safe driving methods drivers have to do, but now with an emphasis on safety. And really think about it. What is the difference in the winter than the summer? What is that impact? And it boils down to, you know, for being on the road, when you're driving, now there's cold weather, that's an issue. But when you're going down the road, it's traction and it's visibility. If you really think about it, that is winter in a nutshell, dealing when you're driving. And then what are the techniques that you train and work with drivers with to be able to deal with traction and visibility in the winter conditions, as well as cold? Cold's got to be an issue to keep the truck running and driver safety if you're going outside, but going down the road, traction and visibility. And we would do, you know, it's just important to do training with the drivers, you know, a good kickoff to winter. But you can't just do one big kickoff. It's got to be a lot. I always would say it's got to be a lot of little taps throughout the winter months to keep everybody's mind refreshed and make sure that that's, you know, first on mind when they're thinking about driving in winter. They know the techniques and they use them.
Gary, so how do you train a driver? And I'm thinking specifically, maybe you have a driver come on to your team from South Florida, or an international driver that doesn't have a lot of snow and ice experience. Like, are they trained in like a big parking lot, or do you have certain routes that you don't have a lot of other vehicles, or like, are they out there in the cab, but they have someone else with them? I mean, how do you, let's say you have a driver that doesn't have a lot of experience with snow and ice, or not driving a truck in snow and ice. How does that training look like?
Yeah. So there's a couple things there. First of all, when a new driver comes on, there is a lot of intense training that you'll have someone riding with that driver for at least a month. So we take a driver who came out of, you know, they got their CDL, but they haven't really driven yet for a carrier. You know, it's up to the carrier to make sure that driver's safe. And what that is, you know, we would put a trainer right with that driver that would be with them 100% of the time and working with them on the best practices for winter driving. Now, the other aspect of it is, you know, if a driver has never driven in winter, you know, we'd want a trainer to go out with them for a while and make sure they understand the techniques that drivers need to do. But, you know, basically, you know, again, it's you know, stopping distance or following distance, because it's going to take longer to stop. And the key is, too, is once, you know, the roads become slippery and unsafe, get off the road. It's not worth to keep pushing on. And that's, I think, you know, maybe way in the past, there was more of a tendency to keep going. You don't see that anymore. It's get off the road when the conditions are bad.
Gary, do you feel that's an industry-wide perspective, or is that more with you and your teams kind of hold that perspective of getting off the road when it gets bad?
Overall, industry-wide. There's no doubt about it. Nothing good. And carriers, for the most part, I should say, you know, customers for the most part understand that. They're not pushing. And, you know, with all the liability out there, you know, you can't be doing that. And plus, it's the right thing to do. We don't want drivers to get hurt. We don't want the public to get hurt. And even if you have the best driver in the world, you still have motorists out there that can lose control and you tangle up with the truck, and it's not going to be a good outcome. So the best thing is to get off the road if conditions start becoming too slippery or unsafe out there due to winter conditions.
Well, Gary, you're right. You start introducing a lot of uncertainty, right? It's not just your driver. It's all these other people out there too that may get into situations. So I really like that perspective. And it sounds like you're saying everyone wins when you take that level of precaution and get off the road during bad conditions.
Yep. And you've got to do it. And like I said, it's pretty much industry-wide. Now, I can think way back, it was kind of a push to get everything out, drivers out there and going. It's not like that anymore.
Well, Gary, great conversation so far. We have a couple more key industry questions for you. But before we get to that, this is our favorite segment of the podcast called Weathered Wisdom. So we do this with every guest. It's a time for you to look back and share a story or lesson you've learned from weather That's left a lasting impression. So this could be a moment of survival, discovery, reflection, just some aspect of weather that's really influenced you personally or professionally. So Gary, share with us, what's your weathered wisdom?
Well, you know, being in Minnesota, and like I said, I love winter activities. So I've got, I actually have a lot of personal ones too, where I've been caught in some pretty bad weather conditions, but I'll stick to one from a professional standpoint. And this was way back early in my career with UPS. I was in my early 20s, I had a operating center up in northern Minnesota. And it was during, we had the Halloween storm. And the Halloween storm happened, I think it was in 1991 is when that Halloween storm hit, if I remember correctly. And there was 37 inches of snow. And okay, the snow was a lot, that's a lot of snow. But the big thing was the wind gusts. It was 40 mile an hour wind gusts. And so this happened in Halloween, so it was fairly early. The roads were still warm. The snow fell on the roads, and it was a heavy, wet snow to begin with. The roads got so packed with this snow that really for weeks on end, that they'd plow them, but you had these areas you'd run over that were just, you know, like an inch of ice that was just on there, real rough roads. But I remember going to one of our centers, we called them, that was in Duluth, Minnesota, because they were hit exceptionally hard, which is right on Lake Superior. It was all hands on deck. Everybody went. So my center got cleaned up. We went over to that one to help. I'll just think packages are still coming in from all over the country. All the country's going, but that center was just buried in snow. We went there to help, and I remember walking around, helping drivers, running packages to houses. Like I said, all management, it was hands on deck. Going through snow that was, you know, well over waist deep in drifts, trying to get these packages delivered. The roads had been cleared by then, but obviously there was just such heavy, deep snow, and it's like, it's just something I will never forget. You know, it was crazy.
Just, you know, and Gary, I think it's really beneficial because winter weather has such an impact on the industry. And then you living in Minnesota, like you've experienced this professionally and personally. So you really have an idea about, you know, what it's like to live in these extreme conditions. It reminds me, I lived for a few years in interior Alaska. And every now and then I'd talk to a friend who's working for a company based out of Houston or Dallas or, you know, and the people in Texas or Florida, Louisiana, they'd be saying, why aren't you guys getting out there and putting more equipment up? Or, you know, and they're like, do you know what it's like to work in minus 41 degrees? You know, and sometimes there's a disconnect, you know, but, yep. You know, spend a few weeks or months in something like that. You're like, okay, now I understand what these extreme conditions are like. It sounds like that's just part of living in Minnesota for you.
Yeah, in Minnesota, they're very good at getting the roads cleared. I mean, they can clear these roads, but obviously they're not clearing all around the houses and stuff where we had to drop packages off at. So we'd have to, you know, be going up there and trying to get to these houses to drop the packages off. But yeah, it was anybody who was in Minnesota at that time, everybody remembers the Halloween storm of 91. It was just a crazy, crazy time.
I've heard of that, and because I think it was so early in the season, yes. I mean, you expect big snow in Minnesota, but not that much that early, you know?
Yes, you're exactly right.
Gary, earlier in the podcast, we were talking about these emerging technologies, and I mean, what's amazing, Trimble's providing weather intelligence technology to help logistics professionals operate more efficiently. How do these technologies account for weather? I mean, what do they provide for carriers? What do they provide for drivers to help them understand potential weather conditions that they're going to face out there on the road?
Yeah, so Trimble has a product, Trimble Maps. It has a product called Trimble Weather Intelligence. And basically what it does, and it really, we could talk a whole hour on this. It does a lot. But basically what it's doing, it is looking at the dispatch of the driver. So driver's going from Minnesota to New York. It knows the dispatch the roads that the driver's dispatched on. It gets input on weather. And then it'll say, you know, how is the weather going to be on this route? Moderate, high, or extreme, excuse me, conditions. And that way, the driver knows what they're going to encounter in their route. It also gives the driver or dispatch the opportunity to give another route to that destination. So you'll have information that's fed to the driver. It's going to be fed to the back office, so to operations, so they know what's going on with their driver. It's going to be fed to customer service, so they can notify the driver, or I'm sorry, so they can notify the customer and say, you know what, we've got bad weather in between where we are now and where your location is. We may be late. And another key part of this as well is that once a driver gets into an area where snow is occurring, it becomes very difficult to find a place to park. Parking is always a big concern for drivers. I don't know, if you follow the industry much, it's one of the top three concerns for drivers, finding a safe place to park. Now you throw weather in on that, and all of a sudden you have all these drivers stopping. There's no place to park. So what the weather intelligence allows drivers to do as well is know well in advance so they can stop at a location that's safe before they get to where all the chaos is and problems and not find a place to park.
So in other words, if there's lake effect snow coming off one of the Great Lakes, like 30 miles ahead, it might prompt them like, hey, you're not hitting that yet, but it's up ahead. They're having issues with a lot of drivers getting off the road. It may help them get off earlier, maybe where they could find better parking or something like that.
You're exactly right. It's just going to give them a real concise, you put your dispatch in, and as you're going even, it'll keep you updated if things change in regards to weather along your path. So, you could be 200 miles out somewhere. You may not hear the weather going, what's going all over, all in your path. Especially with satellite radio, you're not listening to local stations or things that are, even within a few hundred miles from you. So it just really gives the driver a good view of what's going on and information that they can act on. And again, it's coordinated with the driver and the back office, and then they can coordinate then with the customer.
Gary, we talked a lot about winter weather in this episode. On one of my first tornado chases, I was with our senior video producer, Jeremiah Long. We were in eastern South Dakota, and we did not see any farms hit by tornadoes, and we didn't actually see any direct tornado impact. So we thought, well, we didn't really have much to document. We got out on an interstate, and there were so many tractor trailers that were blown over from the squall line. I mean, it really opened our eyes to like, wow, this squall line comes in. It was a north to south route. So these strong winds from the west, I think, just brought, hit these tractor trailers really broadside and flip and knock them over. I mean, could you see this type of weather technology even playing a part with like severe weather, strong winds, things like that for trucking and shipping?
Absolutely. And it does. So that Trimble Weather Intelligence looks at wind. It looks at visibility. All the weather events that can affect trucking, storms, a lot, like you said, a squall line, just heavy winds, all that is called out to a driver en route as they're going so they can be prepared for it. And heavy wind or strong winds are a concern for trucking. It's a big concern, and drivers got to react properly when, and if they know the heavy winds are coming, they can react properly to it and get up.
Gary, you talked about another value of this technology. If they see that there's bad weather up ahead, they can maybe call a client or a customer and let them know they may be delayed. I wanted to ask you about that in the industry as well. Like, how do agreements and contracts work? Let's say a driver is supposed to have a load to a location by 6 p.m., but all of a sudden they hit all this snow at noon and they're going to be late. I mean, typically, will clients and customers work with that? Or are there times where they say, hey, we have a contract that there's not flexibility? I mean, how does that work in the industry when weather's involved with delays?
Well, I can tell you, I think customers have gotten very good with this. They understand that you can't push drivers to go through weather that's unsafe. I think they're very good at it. I remember way in the past where you'd get a call from customers and say, well, your driver didn't make it, but this other driver made it. Why didn't your driver make it? Well, it could be because of our culture, our stance is that we don't want our drivers driving in bad weather. You don't hear that. You really don't hear that anymore. And I will tell you, it really starts with when you set up a customer and you set up the right expectations both ways. And for example, we would let a customer know we have the driver. The driver has the final say on what's safe. We are never going to tell a driver to do something that is unsafe. In fact, many times we'll tell drivers to even pull them back even more to get off the roads if there's any poor conditions. But again, setting those expectations clearly up front of what our expectations are for safety, what the customer's expectations are. And again, for the most part, they will go along with that. The one thing the customers want, though, and rightfully so, is to be kept updated on what's going on. As long as we keep them updated, and now I'll step back again where we talked about the weather intelligence products that gives us clear idea. And in fact, you can have it sorted where you'll have all your drivers that could, and when you're talking 1,800, 2,000 drivers, 3,000 drivers, you need to be able to clearly see what drivers are going to be entering into an area of bad weather and not be scrolling through each driver and looking. Well, you can get that information. You can get that to the customer service, and then you can easily talk to the customers and let them know what is going on and keep them informed every step of the way.
Gary, it sounds like you're saying most of the customers are very understanding. They just want clear communication and to be updated on what's going on if there are delays, right?
You're exactly right. That they need to be kept updated of what's going on. Correct.
Yeah. Gary, I've learned a lot from you on this podcast episode. I know our listeners are really going to enjoy this. We've done many podcasts about building better houses, better construction. We haven't really covered transportation and extreme weather. And to me, transportation's like this amazing industry that's often hidden. You know, people go to the store and they're not thinking about all of the logistics that had to happen to get their favorite products there and even how the weather's impacting that. So I learned a lot from you today. And one of the big things that I really take home is just the company culture and how it sounds like this is a 365 day a year thing where you foster this culture of good communication, driver safety, safety throughout all of your departments, that when a storm hits, you're not reacting to that. It sounds like you get out ahead of this and in the way you set expectations with your clients, but also in your own company.
Yeah, that it's a must. You can't prepare for it the day of the storm. You have to have things in place. You have to have, again, deep in the company culture and processes that just take place and drivers that know what to do. And one thing we didn't talk a lot about, but is extremely important, is injury prevention as well. When people think of transportation, you're thinking of crashes, trucks going off the road or getting involved in accidents. But you also really have to do training as well on injury prevention. You know, slips and falls are a big part of injuries. You know, just getting in and out of the tractor when there's snow and ice. So there's a lot of training and, again, information that's given out to drivers on a constant basis throughout the winter on how to stay safe to prevent personal injury, you know, not from an accident or a crash, but from just being out and walking around and working around the truck, trailer, doing your pre-trips, securing loads when it's bad weather conditions.
Yeah, that's a good point, Gary. I mean, it's not just being out on the road, but right when you're parking, when you're getting in and out, when you're walking, when all these different aspects and thinking through them. Gary, we've covered a lot on this episode. I wanted to give you a chance. What's one last take-home message you'd like to share with our audience?
I guess just one last message is, you know, when trucks are on the road, you know, be safe around the trucks. And that, you know, it's a big vehicle. It takes it longer for the vehicle to stop. You throw bad weather in on top of it. It takes even more. Trucks, many times, you know, they go slower than the flow of traffic. They're governed. And I just would like people to understand and be patient around trucks. And believe me, these guys are working hard. These guys and gals out there are working hard trying to be as safe as they can. And you just got to, you know, just be patient around trucks and be safe when you're driving around trucks and out there on the road.
Thank you, Gary. I think that's information that all of our listeners can apply, whether they work in the trucking and transportation industry or they don't. Everyone's out there on the road and dealing with these conditions. Gary, thank you so much for taking time to come on the podcast. I know our listeners are really going to love this version, this episode. And I think there's a lot of principles you've provided here that obviously impact trucking and shipping in extreme weather, but they go well beyond that. And I think a lot of people can apply some of the things you brought in to making their work environment safer, whatever industry they work in. So thank you for those insights. And thank you so much for taking time to come on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, what an amazing episode here of the GeoTrek podcast. I have really two main take-home points I took from my conversation with Gary. Number one is just the emphasis on company culture. I thought that was really interesting. The lessons he's teaching us can be applied to any business anywhere, no matter what kind of extreme weather you face, and in a lot of conditions where you don't even have extreme weather. He talked a lot about having shared values and shared beliefs in a company. And I think that's really going to promote better performance over time, better relationships, and also this sense that managers are looking out for their employees, that they want employees to have a safe working environment. Of course, we all want to be productive. Of course, we all want to increase our productivity every year. But a lot of what Gary talked about are ways to ensure that company safety is really a shared value and belief. And I think that can be applied to any business anywhere. Very applicable insight there that people can use and our listeners are really going to, I think, get a lot out of. Number two, I thought it was interesting when we talked about the, you know, what happens when you have delays in shipping? What happens when you have contracts and agreements and those aren't reached? And really, Gary emphasized the need for continuous relationships with those clients and customers, but also just keeping clear communication lines. He mentioned that really most customers will be understanding about delays that are weather related, but they really want to be kept in the loop and they want consistent communication about how much of a delay is this. But I was encouraged to hear that he said most customers and most clients respect those weather delays, and they obviously want everyone involved to be safe as well. So really interesting and good insights that I think any businesses can apply, whether you're impacted a lot by extreme weather or not. So thank you again, Gary, for sharing those insights. It was a great podcast. I think these are principles that I'm going to apply to my own business life, and I think a lot of our listeners will as well. Well, thanks again for staying tuned to the GeoTrek podcast, for helping to make us one of the top podcasts on the topic of natural disasters. Be sure to leave a review and subscribe on your favorite listening platform to not miss any upcoming episodes of the GeoTrek podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Hurricane Hal. I'll catch you on the next episode of the GeoTrek podcast.